Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and the pastor of senior citizens at Brookside. And with me in the studio, again, is Pastor Joe Helm. And Pastor Joe, we've been discussing the characteristics of the end times, and we've gotten right up to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. So just begin to help us to understand, what is it that we're going to see in these end times?
Yeah, and it's really an eye-opener, Pastor Greg. You know, the last couple of programs, it may not have seemed to the listeners like we were ever going to get here, but basically this is the continuation of a passage that starts in especially chapter 2, verse 1, the path of an approved servant of God in the day of apostasy, the path of an approved workman, how to be an honorable vessel. And we first looked at basically the requirements of that, to be diligent in accurately handling the truth, to shun everything that is not based in truth because it spreads like cancer and it overthrows faith, but rather to understand and be confident in the foundation of God, that he knows those that are his, and then we are to be holy in our lives and cleanse ourselves from all that is dishonorable in the sight of God. And that way we would be sanctified. We'd be useful. The result would be we'd be prepared for every good work that God would want to do through us.
Right.
We talked a little bit about the routine that might customarily follow that. In other words, fleeing youthful lust and carnal desires and worldly pursuits, and instead to pursue or follow after righteousness and faith and love and peace. And then the ultimate foundational reason for all of that is that God might be able to use us to reach the lost.
Yeah, exactly.
To avoid arguing, but rather be a gentle, patient instructor in the truth, so that God might be able to work in their hearts, change their mind, bring them to repentance, that they would know the truth and be delivered and escape the devil's snare. That just fires you up in terms of an understanding of the heart of God, that none would perish.
Right.
But then Paul turns the discussion now to Timothy and says, now, Timothy, I don't want you to be naive. You know, you really got to understand what this really means. If you're committed to reaching the lost, those that are captive by the devil, you've got to understand what they're going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the more the day approaches of the Lord's return. And
right.
So chapter 3, he moves in with some very strong language saying, now, given all of that, Timothy, now, be constantly aware of this fact. That's what he says when he says, be knowing this. In the original language, it means be constantly aware.
Mm.
Don't be ignorant. Don't be gullible. Don't be naive. Be conscious of the spirit of the age, and especially in the last days. And he says that. He says that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. The final days, the times of Messiah, the time of the last period before the final messianic action that is going to be the return of Christ to earth, the removal of his own, and then physically coming to earth and bringing judgment.
Amen.
And that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And he calls it difficult times. And that word difficult is really also a vivid word in the original, meaning violent. It means fierce and wild. And so the idea here is that these are going to be grievous times, hard to endure, full of trouble and trial and hardship that is going to require incredibly great effort and skill to deal with just to stay alive,
Okay. Let
alone live a testimony for God,
right,
for those that are his. Now, he also wants to make the point, I think, that the vices that he's about to discuss, and he's going to say there's a list here of 18 characteristics of the people of the last days. So notice we're differentiating here. When we talk about the characteristics of the last days, we're not going to be talking about earthquakes,
sure,
and storms and pestilence and sickness and peril and armies and wars and all that. That's all important.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 24, Christ said, these will be the signs of my coming and the end of the age. The book of Revelation, of course, we can read and see some of the foreshadowing of some of these great judgments that are going to happen. But here in this passage, this is a very specific passage that is using the characteristics of men,
mm-hmm,
and how men think and how they act and how they live and interact with themselves and others. And so this is kind of like it's just honing in, it's zeroing in on people. And what it's saying here, I think, is that, first of all, these vices that we're going to read about, self-love and lovers of money and all this stuff, Those things have always existed. That's the nature of fallen man. But I think the point is he's making here is that these are not only going to be present, but they're going to be so common, they're going to be so openly avowed and lived out and defended that they become cultural norms.
So they, in essence, are people that are coming out. They're not hiding it.
Exactly.
They're not doing it behind the scenes. It's in your face, and it shouldn't be a problem to
you. And it's defended, and you become the problem if you object.
Exactly.
And it all becomes the cultural norm. It is absolutely incredible. And not only that, but to the most absurd and excessive degree. I mean, it is overboard, and it's in your face.
Right.
That's the point here. One commentator said that it is going to be a virtual relapse into heathendom.
Wow.
And so here's Paul's warning. Don't be naive, Timothy. These people not only are, but will be in the church. And, of course, beginning with the actual false teachers, the propagators of the false doctrine, but then those that follow them.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that God is going to allow the tares and the wheat to grow together until the end, when God is the one, because he knows his. And then he starts with why these times are going to be so perilous. And he says, for men will be, and this is the main verb of the passage now, they will be in their essence. This is their inner being. This is their character. This is who they are. And of course, notice the first one, lovers of self.
Me first.
Me first. It's me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's whatever I want, how much I want, when I want it, what color I want, the volume, you know, you name
right.
it. It's
yeah.
just I.
Yeah, you get out of the way. It's all about me.
It's all about you, babe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is the primary characteristic. And out of this really flows all the rest.
Exactly.
Because this is a total misdirection of biblical love, right? Biblical love, agape,
yes,
is a love that does not see self.
Right.
It sees others.
Right.
And that's the heart of God. Whereas the primary characteristic here in this list of these end time characteristics is love of self.
Mm-hmm.
The next one follows closely on the heels, love of silver. That's the literal Greek word. It's a compound word that is actually the word love and silver put together. And it's an adjective. It's silver lovers is the idea.
Uh-huh.
And it's the continuation or the expression of, it's the outworking of self-love.
Sure.
I love myself, therefore I love anything that is going to benefit myself.
Right.
And of course, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just look out over our world today and we talk about the idea of love of self, Pastor Greg. I mean, is it not so obvious that we live in the most selfish world today, the selfish culture, where self is at the center of everything? You talk about having nearsightedness. In fact, the word is the word that we get our word myopic.
Oh, wow.
Myopic.
Yeah.
Nearsightedness. A self-lover makes themselves the central and leading object of everything.
Hmm.
And really that expresses two primary facets. Number one, it's a passion to gratify their own desires. But number two, it's to the exclusion of everyone else.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's just amazing how this has captured our culture.
You know, even in my counseling ministry, so often that is the bottom line. You know, if a man is into a marriage because it's all about him and he wants his wife to be pleasing him and meeting his needs and do this for me and do that for me, and whether it be a man or a woman, it doesn't work. It's kind of like somebody said that marriage oftentimes is like a tick on a dog type of a situation. You know, one's a giver, one's a taker. But it's really, really bad when all of a sudden you've got two ticks and no dog.
Well, you know, Pastor Greg, you realize that it's the very opposite of the truth.
Exactly.
What's the truth? Christ said it.
Yeah.
Love God and love others.
Exactly.
Those are the greatest commandments. It sums up the whole scripture.
And there is no love yourself in that whole situation.
Exactly. It's just completely opposite.
And so the emphasis for self-love and all that kind of thing that we see in today's society and psychologists and everything else is the exact opposite of what God says. But it says right here, men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Yeah. You know what the brutal truth is, Pastor Greg? Self-love is a vice.
Exactly.
It is a vice. It's an immoral, evil habit. It's depraved. It's degrading. And it is utterly contradictive to the transforming work that God wants to go on in your life as a believer. Now, those are hard words, but it's the brutal truth. And if you're a self-lover, now, frankly, let's admit it. We all are.
We all are. Yeah.
Because we still, redeemed or not, we still have that old man. And that's why you come all the way back to Romans chapter 6, and the whole issue is, who's living?
Exactly. Right?
What
exactly.
Shall I say then? Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are
dead
to sin,
right,
live any longer therein? And so it's a matter that I have to realize that I need to stop trying and start dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to live the crucified life. And the first thing that's got to be crucified is self.
Right.
And I've got to turn my heart to God and ask Him through the power of His Spirit to enable me to love Him and love others and fulfill His greatest commandments. And until I do that, I'm going to constantly be fighting this battle.
So when Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me, he's in essence saying every day we will have the opportunity to die on that cross. We will face a situation where we either die to ourselves or we boast about our abilities as self.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what the next word is, boasters,
yeah.
You know, and so we either become a boaster or become a dyer.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is, I just remember, because out of this self-love is this lover of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's a graphic term referring to materialism, greed, covetousness, and the pursuit and acquisition and the reveling in stuff. And really, the scripture says that's simply idolatry,
mm-hmm,
is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you just said, the third one, boasters. Maybe we can get to that next time, but the word there, I think a more graphic, literal rendering of that word there would be braggarts.
Oh, wow.
And doesn't that just give you a much more keen sense of what this person is like?
Exactly.
Boasters is okay, but
yeah,
braggarts,
yeah,
just says it all.
Some guy that walks with a swagger, you know? And, you know, we've been talking about some things that can be convicting, but yet they need to be convicting because we need to be conforming to the image of Christ.
Well, let's pick up on that point next time, and we'll hurry our way, hopefully, through the rest of these characteristics of the end time.
And as we look at those, we trust that they will not be true in your life, but secondly, they will be used by God to remind you to pray that we will become ones who are able to show the good works of God in our lives. Until this next time, we trust that you'll have a fantastic day and that you'll be walking strong with the Lord. God bless you today.